Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. This is your host Chris here with Ro, Brandon, and Joy. Joy joining us. We are here to review the 2019 Disney remake of Aladdin, or live action make of Aladdin. I'm not going to read the synopsis for this because it's Aladdin, so everybody should fucking know what it's about. So I'll let you guys go first. What do you guys think of this film?
I guess I'll start. It is not as bad as I was expecting. But to put my business hat on, I'd really love to understand what is the strategy of these movies outside of let's make a fuck ton of money, which is, if that's the strategy, fine. It's working for Disney overall, but this film was not necessary in any way, shape, or form. It does kind of enhance certain beats of the original animated series, but then there's a kind of lack of magic and wonder in this film that I felt the animated series had. I'm not certain that Guy Ritchie was the right director for this for a couple of reasons, which we'll probably get into later. And Will Smith can't sing, and I don't want him to, like, his whole sing talking is not cute, and I don't want him to do it anymore, even though he was a good genie. But yeah, overall, it was not a bad movie, but it was just a completely unnecessary movie.
It was a little bland for me. I agree with that. It's missing some of the awe and wonder. I just kind of got, and we all can agree that I don't know what Will Smith, he was not singing. But I just spent a lot of the movie going, but why? I had less problems with Guy Ritchie's direction. I just didn't understand why everybody sounded so damn Anglo, who were the main characters, when we were very much not there. I mean, they put so much effort into making it look and feel like it's the right part of the world, and then they open their mouths and talk, and that bothered me. But Aladdin is one of my favorite animated films. I felt like they tried on certain tips to be too much like that movie, and that cost them. I was not necessarily enamored with the singing. I mean, they did solid, but I really felt like it's Aladdin, it's Disney. Solid isn't necessarily good enough, but it was fun. It was entertaining. It was pretty to look at. Some of the CGI, I was like, okay, why did you do that? But again, as you said, it was better than I expected, but it was less than I had hoped.
So I agree with everything that both of y'all have said. You touched on the point about them sounding American as fuck while everybody else in Agrabah sounds like they're from Agrabah. And that was a problem for me. Will Smith absolutely cannot fucking sing. And I can't believe Disney released the soundtrack of this music. And the fact that they have a song in the credits, in the end credits with DJ Khaled.
Oh my God. Yo, when I tell you I walked out and I heard that DJ Khaled, I said, absolutely the fuck not. And kept walking. Nope. Mm-mm.
All I know is that Will said in the first four bars of this remix hip hop version of Friend Like Me, he said, I'm the flower like Jasmine, or I'm Jasmine, I'm the flower. And I was like, I hate this nigga so much. Like, the fact that he actually put that on paper and said it. But I'm a fan of Aladdin as well. And I basically know all the words to the music. Mm-hmm. And in general, I think Naomi Scott did the best singing job in the film, which is why they gave her the two extra songs. I think Aladdin was fine. He was acceptable at singing. I think that they made a lot of missteps here. I don't necessarily think adapting the film to live directly from the cartoon was a poor idea, but I do agree that they did not have the mindset to execute this properly. Like the Prince Ali song, for instance, should have looked like a scene from Mad Max Fury Road with what we can do with technology and what we can do with stunts and whatnot now, but they didn't do that. It's very bland. It's very boring. And I think their best dance number was Friend Like Me. But I think there's some missteps with the casting, the biggest one being Jafar. I don't know why that person was cast as Jafar. He was not believable. He was not menacing. He was kind of just a punk and a little bit of annoying, kind of a scraggler. He's very whiny. His voice.
Was I the only one who thought the man who played Hakim should have been Jafar?
That would have worked better. That absolutely would have worked better. I don't like the casting of Jasmine's father. They should have stuck with a short, pudgy person for that role. And I think they took that out of that character, which made him fun in the cartoon. And I am absolutely offended by what they did to Iago. I get that they were trying to add some realism there in a world where there's a fucking monkey that is ripping people off and making faces through CGI every minute it gets changed into an elephant. Like, understand you wanted to keep it ground-based and realism. My problem with that, though, is the fact that Disney, you are literally releasing a film that will have nothing but voices for animals literally after this movie. So why is Iago an actual parrot repeating parrot shit? To me, the two best characters from the Aladdin series, the cartoon, is Genie and Iago. They have the best lines. They are the funniest characters. They talk the most shit. They're the most entertaining because Jasmine is meh, Aladdin is typical, and Jafar is, you know, Jafar is Jafar. I love Jafar as an enemy in the cartoon. So I think Guy Ritchie missed all of those points, and I think one of the biggest slaps in the face of this movie is the poor, tedious fanfare that they did. When they had characters utter lines from the film that are memorable or parts of songs, it just was bland. The delivery was cold fries, and I was not a fucking fan of that shit. We had a couple behind us that was very into the film. I get who they're making this for. They're making this for really old, nostalgic people who just needed to see this again, and for a very, very, very young group of kids, because I need Disney to understand that this is not the Disney princess era. This is not the Disney cartoon era. This is the Marvel superhero universe era. And because we did not have films like that as a kid, we remember films like Aladdin and Simba, and Lion King and The Little Mermaid and shit that was for kids. Like, that's pretty much what we had. We had a bunch of silly shit. We didn't have Iron Man and shit. So when you try to bring back live versions of these movies, like you're literally doing Maleficent 2 for whatever the fuck reason, I'm just kind of like, I don't understand what the point is. Like, Lion King, I'm all for because it's black as fuck. I'm completely for that. But the rest of it, I don't get. And Lion King, honestly, is one of the only ones that I could see getting a live action adaptation after them doing Jungle Book so well.
Well,
I just don't understand what these other ones are for, why they're doing them. And even, like, to Joy's point, they're doing it for a shitload of money. Are they really? Because Dumbo only made like $347 million. Like,
but nobody wanted Dumbo. Nobody wanted Dumbo touch.
Nobody wanted
Nobody.
Dumbo. Nobody, we did not, we didn't need it. First of all, the crows. It wasn't in the movie, but still, true. The principal.
They still found a way to work that I done seen about everything and to have it in the hands of black people. So let's be real. If you look at the marching band, they still managed to work that shit in.
And I don't disagree with you at all, but I will say that, like, Phenom said everything correct. I will also say that to expound on that point, it's not like they haven't done original, you know, animation-esque films that have become successful that aren't remakes, because Frozen made a shit ton of money. And it's an original concept targeting that young audience who's new to this space, who is, you know, Shorty, Elsa is now a Disney princess. So they don't have the capability. They just are not choosing to. It's weird.
I'll bring it even closer to the forefront. The whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, why is Mary Poppins Returns so much fucking better than this? Like, so much better than this movie.
Well, you got people that can actually perform.
Like, and that's what it is. That's what it is. They did not care about doing performances in Aladdin for whatever reason, and I am appalled.
Well, and so there's a couple things about that, right? So, one, the ones that they have done really, really successful with, the two of them, we call them live action, but if we really think about them, they're still kind of sort of like that blend of animation, because Jungle Book is still mostly non-live action. You have Mowgli, yeah, but that was the only, like, actor in the film. And then for Jungle Book, the same way, it's like, nobody actually has
you
to... Lion King,
yeah.
Nobody actually has to act. Like, these films lose something when they do... Because, again, Aladdin is basically a musical, when you think about it. Like, people watch Aladdin for the music, and when this film opens up with the two songs it does... One with Will Smith, it was flat, and we're like, oh, this is not going to work. Like, Friend Like Me didn't bother me as much, but I think that's because the opening song he does when he comes in was, like, flat as hell. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to work. Right. Arabian Nights
is one of my favorites, and I was pissed.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't work. And that's
he didn't sing.
And that's the opening of the film. And then when the actor who plays Aladdin comes in, he starts doing things. Like, he's, like, at least with Will Smith, I was like, I could get with it, especially when he's doing the songs as Genie, because I'm like, all right, the performance is there. I can live with it. The actor who plays Aladdin, though, is just, everybody who sings with him or does a performance with him runs circles around him. So when he does something with Naomi Scott, who does who's Jasmine, she's so far, like when they're doing, what's the song? Whole New World. Oh my God. It's like, when he's singing, you're like, what the fuck? When she's singing, you're like, okay, I can get this. It's such an imbalance there. And
but he can actually dance, and Will Smith can't.
And that's where the problem is. Like, everybody has a little piece. I'm actually fine with him. I'm actually fine with everybody when there's no songs. When they're not singing, it's fine, but the singing is where the magic is. Like, everybody basically here is saying, there's no magic in this film. Well, the magic is the songs. And so when you do Aladdin, and so that's where it's like, to me, this isn't as bad as, what was it? Nutcracker, right? I didn't see Dumbo with you guys, but I remember Nutcracker. We were all just like, but the point of the Nutcracker is the dance numbers. And you guys,
and how are you going to give me 2 minutes of one of the greatest ballerinas ever and then give me the rest of this track?
Right, and then you didn't do the dance. Here, they at least try to do the song. And I'll go back to what Joy said. It's like, didn't Guy Ritchie this up as much as I thought he would? Like, the only time I really get that Guy Ritchie feeling, I remember it was Guy Ritchie, was during Speechless, where you freeze frames everybody in the scene and you follow them. Like, he does it all the time. Every single one of his movies, he does that. So I was expecting that more. But then when you get other songs, like the Prince Ali song, it's like nothing works. It's like, I don't hate Guy Ritchie, but he is not on a good streak right now. Like, he was a poor choice for director because, like, fine, you didn't get the music. I could maybe live with that if you could get the performances, but then, like, they're just not shot in a way, outside of Friend Like Me, where you actually feel like you're into the songs. And again, that's me saying that, and I was in a theater full of people who clapped at the end of this movie. You know
why Friend Like Me works and the other ones don't? Because it's just him and Genie, and they CGI'd the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
They didn't need to do a lot, but every other song in here is an actual live dance performance, and Will Smith cannot dance. And I love Will Smith. I think he's an amazing actor, you know, Grammy nominated, billion-dollar playboy, A-list black man. Like, he's fucking amazing. But Will Smith has this Will Smith gets thing about him where Disney put him... The reason that Prince Ali, the song, does not work is because they are afraid to take the camera off of Will Smith. They do not want to just focus on choreographed dancers doing shit without Will Smith dead center in front of it, literally doing nothing. Like, he's walking...
And did you notice that he's top billing? He's the first billing on when you go into the intro credits. And he's the first person that pops up on the end credits. So they, for good reason, like Naomi Scott, the first time I saw her was, she was the pink Power Ranger in the new 2017 Power Rangers, which I kind of liked, but I didn't remember her, to be honest.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but she was the pink Ranger. Somebody brought that up and I was like, she was? Okay. And I saw the film and I thought it was all right. And then the other dude, no clue who he is, never seen him before. So I get why they have started billing. Yeah,
you mean Masood? Okay.
Yes. I've never seen him before. But yeah, like I agree with Brandon. I also want to double click. Can we just double click very quickly on the performances? Because so I wrote a written review for this, which will be coming soon on mtrnetwork.net. Check that out. But one of the things that I talked about was you can kind of tell how this film is going to go, indicative of the marquee performance. And the marquee performance for everybody is obviously A Whole New World. That poor Naomi had to do all the heavy lifting and the singing. That was a hot ass mess.
That's the one that drove me. I was like, that's the song. That is, when you think of Aladdin, that's the song. And you're right. She does all the heavy lifting on it. But even beyond that, then the choices of how they did the scene of them flying on the magic carpet.
Oh, it does not look good.
Just like, but again, this is supposed to be one of your marquee things. And it's like they didn't put, again, it's, and we're saying some negative things about it, but it's like, to me, it's still not as bad as, again, like, I was just bored out of my mind with
it is boring at times.
It was boring and bland, but then when I compare it to like Nutcracker, I'm like, well, you know,
oh, it's brilliant compared to Nutcracker.
It's like
but Nutcracker is terrible. Nobody went to see that shit anyway. Like, I don't want to put a bar down and say that Aladdin, because people looked at Guy Ritchie and they went, oh my God, Guy Ritchie. And I looked at Guy Ritchie and I went, I mean, it's Aladdin. We'll see what
I actually disagree. I don't think a lot. I think a lot of people, when Guy Ritchie was announced as this, a lot of people were like, why the fuck is Guy Ritchie doing this? Can you remember, I think right before this, the game thing he did before was that fucking King Arthur movie, which was god-awful.
It was terrible.
For me, it's just like, I'm looking at this film and I feel like the fan service, which if you're going to do these films, that's what you're doing. You're doing fan service. And he didn't respect it.
When they do their live actions, don't necessarily care about fan service, I find. And I don't know why.
Or they do it. They pick the weirdest thing. Like, I find it very fascinating, the folks in the room who created this, on what stuff they decided to recreate versus what stuff that they try to do originally. Because I don't think that cocktail matched. And don't get me wrong.
I didn't like the original parts. I'm not going to lie.
They're bad.
Man, can we talk about that Speechless song? Ooh, that Speechless song is bland.
That was a waste of Naomi Scott. Naomi Scott can sing, and they had her over emoting with the most ridiculous phrasing. And I'm sitting here in my head mentally rewriting the damn song for the words she should be saying just to avoid her screaming Speechless.
That song is damn awful. Yeah.
It looks bad. The dude's disappearing and her walking away, and then people disappearing and her walking away. And I was like,
okay. But even the first time they have her singing it, you're like, why is this here? What? This is stupid. Why? What is this moment? Even before you get to the end with the big moment where they have her go back in there, and we have to deal with that stupid inside her mind montage. Inserting this song was just wrong.
I'll tell you the dumbest thing in film to me. The dumbest shit in the film is something that only works in cartoon and Superman film. It's Aladdin showing back up looking like fucking Aladdin and everyone looking at him going, who are you? And I was thinking, you could have easily fixed this by making his hair longer, making him look grungy, and giving him a 5 o'clock shadow that was thick as fuck and a mustache. And then when Genie cleans him up and turns him into a prince, getting rid of all of that. But they didn't even take the effort to do that. And that's when I was like, this film is not only just boring, but there are just elements in here where I can clearly tell they didn't give a fuck. I'm surprised I didn't see a Starbucks coffee cup on the table during one of the
I will say, the way that they kind of hand wave why that is and being like, oh, it's Genie magic. I'm like, so, but can you give me like some blue around him to kind of explain?
Right. You wanted him to have a blue nimbus.
Give me something to remind me, like, because I agree with Brandon. Like, yo, they did mention and explain like why, like how come people don't recognize me. He was like, you know, it's Genie magic. Like, I'm masking you under my magic, and I'm like, okay.
You know what's
funny? Mostly were just trying to play into that. It's the real you inside that shines through bullshit, and apparently.
Genie explains that terribly throughout the movie. By the way,
of course, Genie explains many things terribly throughout the damn movie.
But I'm okay with the genie explaining things terribly. He's a genie, right? So you can get away with that. It's just like, oh yeah. I'm gonna leave the small. I can do that. You know what's funny to me though, because we talked about fan service when we did Avengers Endgame. It's coming down to the fact that Disney owns, you know, obviously Disney stuff, Pixar, Lucasfilms, and then Marvel. Disney's actually the worst at a fan service for their own shit. Marvel does fan service well. Lucasfilms, despite people's complaints about The Last Jedi, does fan service well, right? Pixar is Pixar, right? It's just funny to me. It's like, you guys are actually now, like, Disney, you're actually now the worst people out of the people that make film. Yeah, you're the worst. Disney is the worst people out of Disney. It's like, it used to be that I was like, oh yeah, they're remaking these films. They're going to make a shit ton of money. That's fine. But outside of Beauty and the Beast, Jungle Book, and probably Lion King, they actually haven't been that good. And now
Beauty and the Beast was bland.
Beauty and the Beast had its moments, but
it still made a shit ton of money. And I think Cinderella too. So what those films made a lot of money. So I think a lot of people were like, oh yeah, they're fine. At this point though, they're on a string of fucking losses because, you know, Dumbo, you have Nutcracker. I mean, I think Mary Poppins Return was actually really, really good. It's just that they put it up against a bunch of other films that got it drowned out.
Terrible.
But
they had Christmas under their women. They didn't.
Yeah, they were overconfident about that. But
I would argue though, like, do we count Mary Poppins as a part of their live action remake genre? Because Mary Poppins, the original one, I don't either.
True.
Why aren't you counting it?
Because the original one had human.
I don't think it counts as a live action remake. I think it's
just a live action remake.
I guess I just kind of put it under the umbrella of they're doing remakes, whether it's live action or not. They're doing remakes.
Mm-hmm. But Mary Poppins wasn't a remake.
It's a sequel.
You got to get the point. You know what we're talking about.
I'm being serious in saying that, but that's one of the reasons why Mary Poppins doesn't fall into the traps and the mistakes that this one does. They still stuck to the Mary Poppins format.
Okay.
But Mary Poppins wasn't a remake, so they had to still think forward. Disney has no respect for existing fans. They know that they could just go in there and say, oh, hey, we're going to pull this out the vault. And everybody who liked that movie when they were a kid, or now has kids to show it to you, or people like me who've got nieces, nephews, or they babysit badass chaps and need something to put them in front of the TV, is going to buy what comes out of the Disney vault. And they're making these remakes with the exact same type of energy that they pull things out of the vault for their 20th anniversary of, here you can get your reanimated, you know, recut and mastered version with all the shit we should have given you on your original DVD as the extras DVD, Blu-ray. And that's how they're doing these. That's how they're treating these remakes. It's how they're treating their live action fare. They don't have any respect. None. They don't care. So we all know and we all acknowledge and admit and recognize that the marquee moment in this movie is them flying over the city on the magic carpet and the song A Whole New World. The second those dailies came in and that stuff looked janky, somebody should have said something. And the fact that they didn't, they let it go forward for what we saw in the movie, tells you everything you need to know about how they think about the Disney fans and what that is.
They were scared to even tell Will Smith he couldn't sing. And I'm surprised that Disney is scared to tell Will Smith that he can't sing, because they have fixed other people's vocals in films to make it sound like they can sing. So they could have easily...
I think they did an okay job.
No, these songs are awful in comparison to any... I cannot think of a Disney film where there's a person who has ever sounded this basic, like this unmastered and unengineered in a Disney film, and they gave him the most songs. Like, that's egregious.
I would argue that at the end of the day, I think this is part of a larger symptom of there is no creative strategy for these films, and it feels like that, and it shows. Like, look, if your overall objective is I just want to make a fuck ton of money, go ahead. I get it. Because look, I think Moana is going to be an interesting live action if they do it correctly. I think Lion King is definitely, sign me up. A bitch will be there in July. Okay. Like, I think that there is like ones that are interesting and they've done the right things. But I do think they need to get. Right. Yeah. But yeah. Like, oh, are they? Okay.
At least like a artwork of like a live action. Lilo, was that a joke? Like a live action.
I think that sounds. That might be a joke because I don't remember seeing that in their calendar when they were talking during the investor call. But in general, like, I think they need to go back to the lab. If you continue wanting to do these type of films, artfully select which ones they are and why you're doing them. Because it seems like when it comes to these musical-led films, they're struggling a bit. Or if it's the ones that actually are live action where you have animated humanoid characters that you're turning into humans, is not going to work. I agree with, I don't know which one y'all said it, but I agree wholeheartedly. I think Lion King is going to be great because there is no humans. I think it's going to be just like the animation aspect of it, which is what Disney and Walt Disney Studios is historically known for. They got that a lot.
But it's trying to who the producer and the director are for Lion King. See, you're not going to get a piece of shit out of that person. Like, you're not.
Oh yeah, no. John Favreau done proved himself time and time again. I ain't worried about my homie. Like, he got that.
Well, and that's the other thing too. Is like, they're picking the right director for these things because they're not picking the right director for some of these movies. like Jon Favreau proved himself when he did Jungle Book and, you know, and everything else he's done. So it's like, okay, he's good. We're good. And then that cast they got. And another thing, too, is you can tell which of these films they have confidence in by the way they announce mm-hmm. them and the way they promote them. Like, when they were teasing for The Lion King, it was, all right, we got Jon Favreau. And then it was just, like, when they first did it, I think they didn't even do a lot. They just showed you the name of the fucking people that were going to be voicing the characters. And we're like,
they put a two-row of pictures.
Right. And we're like, we'll see you guys in July. You know what it is, right? They knew what that it was. Same thing with The Jungle Book. When The Jungle Book came in, there was like, yo, we're getting these people voicing these characters. We'll see you when the movie comes out. For these other films, it's like, yeah, we're looking like, you know what it is? You know what the one they're looking for, we should be looking out for? That probably should have everybody nervous now that they've done Aladdin? Mulan.
That's what I'm worried. That's why
Mulan
I said
is the one that should be
worried about.
Mulan should be the one that you should be worried about. There's actually two of those movies. There's one from Disney, and then Sony's also trying to do their own live action Mulan film. So, yeah, it's neither one of those are
good. They hate us. They hate us, and they want to ruin our childhood.
And so
don't get me wrong. Like I agree with you. Like I do think that they might have something there. I do agree, though, that there is room for concern post this Aladdin environment. Like, then again, I will say this. When Mulan came out, which I think for how Ro feels about Aladdin is how I feel about Mulan. Like, Mulan is that bitch. I love Mulan as a film, as a character. I think it's such a well-done, crafted movie, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't heard them give an update on where it is on the calendar. I also do think that in the future kind of state of post-Fox acquisition, where you have a lot of the calendar is bloated, I think more and more of these films are going to slip through the cracks in terms of quality, and that is very sad to say for me.
They have Donnie Yen, Jet Li, and Mulan, and Nikki Caro is directing it. So
I don't know
who any of those people are. Yeah. Director wise, I know who Donnie Yen is, and Jet Li, but obviously. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm looking for a real explanation here because for this one, I'm trying to figure this out. Why won't they hire Lin-Manuel Miranda to direct these? Like, is there a reason why you wouldn't go to him?
I don't know why you don't treat these more like treat them more like something like on Broadway and actually something like that. Saying, yeah. Right?
Like, why would they go to him? I know it's a possibility that maybe he just doesn't want to direct, but I kind of find it also very hard to believe.
Or at least consult on set for these, for the numbers. At least consult.
He's like booked and busy, but they probably didn't ask. I'm telling you, man, they are so arrogant. They're willing to take risks with properties like we were talking about, bringing in directors. Like, look, I like Guy Ritchie. I don't have as many problems with the way he does things as other people do. I have other problems with Guy Ritchie, with what he wants to do. But he shouldn't have been on Aladdin. Aladdin is not his bag. I don't even think he would have the appropriate mindset to understand the attachment people have to Aladdin.
Yeah, I like him too. I love him for those Sherlock films. Like, I like Guy Ritchie. I just don't like some of the projects he's been put on because it's like, this isn't your thing.
Yeah. Guy Ritchie directed A Man from U.N.C.L.E., so off the strength of that, and I love A Man from U.N.C.L.E. very much so.
Those kind of films are great for him. He's great for those kind of films. But like, King Arthur?
Do you remember the one scene that, during this movie, God damn it, I'm mad that you reminded me of this, Chris. Do you remember that one scene when Aladdin got caught? And he went back to his old little hideout, and they had this weird tracking shot.
Yes!
Like, oh my God, that was trash. I'm blaming the DP for that.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.-esque. I was like, yo, dog.
I was like, I'm like, y'all are not even trying. You're not even trying.
That's this is not the guy, spy thriller. Stop this.
Right, that's the Guy Ritchie effect.
It's a lot of spy, like you're saying, it's a lot of Guy Ritchie shots. But some of the other shots is what I think he thinks is a good way to shoot something for a young audience, and based on how the kids in my screening reacted, especially the one that we have such issues with, Prince Ali, they loved it. Kids literally were getting up and dancing.
We had children.
God, did we have children?
We had a shitload. I had 7 kids behind us. Shitload of fucking.
They were into it.
Like my. there are points in this movie, I think, where you can look at it, or we'll look at it and we'll go, yeah, they didn't care. I'm going to tell you the point where I knew that they didn't really care. When they did a transparent copy paste of Will Smith's face onto a blue bodysuit image and called that Genie, I was like, this just does not look good. It doesn't look good. Him as Genie, as Blue Genie, not only does it not look good, it's like hologram Will Smith in blue, but also he looks like he does not know where the fuck he's supposed to be looking most of the time he's talking to his planet, Aladdin. His eyes are wandering all over the goddamn place. And I was just like, bruh, there's no way that in the production room, y'all didn't notice this when you were watching this scene. Because you had to edit all of the CGI for this. There's no way you didn't notice it. And then I was like, I wonder what they're going to do with Jafar in the end when he becomes a genie. And you know what they did? Nothing. They Ant-Manned him. They just made him big, but kept the actor and look the same and then swole. They were like, if we just add muscles, then that makes them look like a big swole genie thing. And I was like, wow.
Which I don't know if those muscles were fake or not, because I don't know if you've seen Jafar shirtless in real life.
I've seen
that hot Jafar. Very hot Jafar.
But Will Smith's muscles, Will Smith is not his Ali figure anymore. So
No, he's not.
No, Will Smith borrowed those muscles. Those are not his.
I'm gonna say something nice. I will say this about Will's performance. He had a tall, and I'm not even saying this to be like, hey man, you had a tall order, but he really had a tall order in terms of playing this character. Because I think one can argue Robin Williams' interpretation, obviously, of the genie is one of the most well-loved interpretations of a Disney animated character of the 90s and 2000s, of that like peak era.
Yeah, these are unfillable shoes.
Yeah. It's so I appreciated that he did something that was uniquely his own, but it still was entertaining. It was just the singing for me was just the biggest issue for me for Will.
Like I'm actually fine with him in other outside of the singing, and even then compared to some other things, it wasn't, I could live with it. Like, his genie is not bad. And again, he's already going uphill because you're going up against Robin Williams, and Robin Williams didn't have to do it live.
I agree. Yeah.
You know? So it's like,
I thought his genie was actually one of the highlights of the film. It was just, but it was more so him on the ground masking, like, you know, masquerading as a friend or like a confidant to Prince Ali. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's where
his best
strongest.
Like, he played himself. He played Will Smith. Like, bro, it was basically Hitch, Genie Hitch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think that worked very well for this film. And that's where I think he made this version of the genie, this adaptation of the genie, his genie. That's fine. And I like the little romance he had with the first maiden or the handmaiden or whatever. I thought all of that was fine. That was interesting. His jokes are there. His interaction with other characters, like even the carpet. Like, the fact that they did not bring full Iago into this movie, but made carpet, like, completely personified carpet.
Yes, it was such a weird choice. It's a weird choice. It was such a weird choice. It's like, Iago's another...
They used Iago to insert the aspects of menace that were missing from Marwan Kenzari's Jafar.
Yeah, well, the thing that gets me about that is, it's like, it actually made me question, was like, wait, did Iago not talk in the... Wait, no, he did. It was Gilbert Gottfried. It's like, how do we not... Like, it was like one of the more... Another, again, beside the genie, another one of the iconic characters. I'm like, and you don't have the... Oh, that's not... That was a choice, and that was not a good choice.
Like, some of the beats they tried to change just didn't make sense. Like, they tried so hard to go for this particularized image of Jasmine to the point to where they took out all of the sass and the actual fire in the character to try to insert this, you know, self-determination thing. And I was like, why are you trying so hard? You actually have an actress who's capable of pulling this off with a look on her damn face. And mm-hmm. I feel like they stretched her too thin to the point to where you lost cohesion on Jasmine, and they didn't push Mina Massoud enough on Aladdin, and they let him phone a lot of shit in. And honestly, his tonal quality and his tone of voice is what bothered me most, especially when he had to sing with Naomi.
It was, man, for a lot of characters, just the tone of their voices, period, it just wasn't good. It just was not good here. It wasn't effective. And they did, like you, Ro, I had issues with certain changes they made that I just didn't understand, but it's more little stuff. Like the way that Aladdin and them get out of the Cave of Wonders. I was like, why did we change this? Why didn't we just have him trick Genie into doing it the same way? Why did we have him have Abu hold it and then fake rub it? And what? This is overcomplicated to the point where they had to go back and do the real shit, which I thought was funny. But to see it again made it even dumber. I was like, this, what happened? And I was like, why did you put all of that work into that? But Iago can't talk. Like, I don't, what the, or you don't want to make Aladdin actually look like a street rat. He is the cleanest fucking street rat when this film opens up. To the point, again, where even though he's supposed to be doing his genius magic shit and creating the flare or whatever around Aladdin so people can't see through it, I'm just like, I'm sorry, man, it's not believable. Like, and I know I'm talking about a film where a genie and a guy have to stop some other guy from trying to take over a kingdom in Agrabah. But if you want to pull me into your film and you create these rules in this world, it needs to make some sense based on your groundwork. And I just felt like this shit was lazy. And a lot of times it was just lazy. So I don't know. Like, if I take Ashley to see a film like this and she is nodding off, or she is just kind of like, is Will Smith singing again? And I'm like, yeah. Then we laughed all through Arabian Night. Like, you would have thought that was the funniest part of the movie to us.
That sets the tone. That's when I was like, so we're not going to pull the thing. Like, because I avoided most of the trailers for Catch, didn't care. But I saw some people talking about it. I was like, yeah, this music. I was like, and then Arabian Night comes up. I was like, I don't think that worked as well as they think it worked, because that sets your tone for your film. And that was not really giving me confidence. And I think it kind of sputters out from there, you know,
which weird accent in the middle of starting the first song. And I was like, oh, so we're going to fail. When Will was going up the stairs and he turns around and he had the strangest, most funkiest pronunciation of the words. And I was like, what is he doing? Even before they cut to him putting his hand out and Arabian Night started. But like, I was sitting in a row and it was all people pretty much comparable age. We literally just started looking at each other and going, this isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So by the time we got to the first rendition of Speechless, the girl sitting to my right was like, are you fucking kidding me? Come the fuck on. She's just now talking out loud through the movie. She's done. She's all the way done. But she's like, it was cute. She's like, there were parts that worked. She's like, there was some that was really funny. She's like, they could have pulled this off. She's like, this could have worked. She's like, I'm extra pissed because this could have worked.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me. It's like, to me, I'm more disappointed because I had low expectations. So I didn't hate this film because I had low expectations. And in some ways, it surpassed it, but it surpassed my expectations too much in that I was like, but now I'm like, you guys could have pulled this off. Like I had no expectations, but then when I saw what you guys did, I was like, oh, but you guys could have actually have done this right. Now I'm kind of disappointed again for a different reason, because with this a little bit more care, this could have been good. Like, really good. Like, not just fine. Which is where I'm at with it. It's like, it's fine.
That's exactly what I said to Obu when I left. He's like, what did you think, Brandon? I said, it's fine.
Right. But again, when you're talking about Aladdin, fine isn't good enough. Like, if Dumbo was fine, you'd be like, oh, okay. But Aladdin's fine, you're like, ugh. Really? Just fine?
Look, watching that stupid little elephant run around and make that face that made me want to go beat the shit up out of everybody was probably a more emotionally moving moment than any moment in Aladdin.
Yeah.
At what point, like literally at what point in Aladdin were you supposed to get emotional? Was it the point where they did a slow freeze frame of the chair right before it splashed into the ocean and cracked in half?
Look, I'm not gonna spoil the movie. There are plenty of moments where they're supposed to be feeling. I mean, she's like, everybody knows what the basic story is. She's got a relationship with her father. It's contentious. They have conversations and they cut that down. I didn't really have a problem with them having Naveed as a sultan. I had a problem with the fact that they barely used him. Like, and he had no funny moments.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they tried to go for a more serious tone to kind of, I guess they thought they were going to dig into some shit, but then they didn't give you the characters enough to do to develop this tone that they've set. And I was like, y'all just, why couldn't y'all do this on not my favorite movie?
Oh, yeah, they could have cut at least two different scenes, like two different musical numbers to get that.
The new ones, they could have cut both the damn.
Oh, man, when they, that fucking urchin street rat.
Oh,
that
God.
And the reprise version of that? Oh. No thanks. Yo,
he does not need that.
Again, anytime.
Who told him that was the problem? Who told him that was okay? Well, we know who told him. But
oh, it was so bad. Like, I'm, when he started out, we're not doing this.
I'm really mad at Minimus Dude.
Yeah.
I really feel like this is a dress rehearsal and they filmed it.
Yeah,
you know, like, what this reminds me of? You remember like when they do those like Fox Live performances?
Oh,
some of them are like really good, but then some of them you're like, ooh.
Ah. Some of them are like Rent.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. Like this gave me, he gave me Rent Live on Fox. This is what he that's what he gave me.
Yeah, he does not stand up by himself.
I feel y'all, but
what were you gonna say, Chris? I'm sorry.
No, I just said I was just saying he doesn't, when he's by himself, he's the weakest link. Like even with Will's issues with his singing and not singing, again, Will's still entertaining even with those songs. Mina though, just you're just like, ah.
Like, I'm gonna be the oddball here then, because at least that motherfucker can dance and can do parkour. Like Will Smith is just here as Smith.
He's fine for that. He's like, yeah, we're just like, talking about the songs.
Sorry, he gets four songs, dog. Like it's not like Will Smith got one or two songs. He gets four songs.
But Aladdin is supposed to carry the rest of the story through, so it's not good enough that he was great in one damn scene.
Yeah. I honestly, as a huge fan of the cartoon, man, when I really sat and thought about it, that cartoon is carried by Genie and fucking Iago's characters. Aladdin and Jasmine, their story is not that fucking great. It really isn't.
That's why it can't fail when they're live action and they are the focus. That's my point.
I'm not going to expect Menu to come in and do something that even the cartoon didn't do well for the Aladdin.
Well, I'm going to expect you to do at least as well as the damn cartoon, and they didn't.
Well, I think the problem is that you're right, Brandon, in that those two characters were the focus in the cartoons, but we already said it. Like they took away Iago, and even though Will is there, the film is still, there's still too many scenes that require focus on Aladdin. And I don't even see Jasmine, because Jasmine's fine. I mean, even that song, like the speechless song, didn't make any sense. She's fine. Like, she's great. And Mina actually does work, like you said, for the parkour. And when he's just being Aladdin and not singing, he's fine. Like, I see why they cast him for that, but it's like, but you guys are going to have him singing songs like that Street Urchin song. And you open up with his character doing these kind of things. And he's not. So you open up with Will, who leads with Arabian Nights. Then you go into Mina with his song and stuff. And you're just like, guys.
My thing with that is I don't think that's his fault, because
no, I don't think it is either. Yeah.
To do, he did very well. The stuff that they didn't ask him to do, he didn't fucking do it. Like he didn't do it. So he didn't overextend. But when they were like, bro, we need you to climb up a wall while doing these dance scenes. We need you to catch this in one hand and toss this over your back in this other hand and make it look real, like make yourself look agile. He committed completely to those aspects of the character. It was the whole just like, and what else is there to Aladdin part that he didn't do a good job with? And I think that's the film's fault. I don't think they asked him to do anything else. Just like, I don't think they asked anyone to reverb Will Smith's voice. Mm-hmm. So...
Oh. I'm not necessarily blaming him in the sense that like he was supposed to come up and say, okay, y'all, you know, I got to step my game up. But as a basic character, if you raise the bar of my interest in this character and you make him fun to watch and interesting to watch, and then he starts talking and God have us, he starts singing, and those two aspects of him fall apart, they're noticeable. And if they continuously just fall apart, and then you have these other moments where it's great, it just stays noticeable. So you've now created a fractured character that I'm looking at, who I only enjoy seeing half the time that I'm required to look at him. You know, and like he and Will Smith had good banter between them, because when he turned into a dumbass, it's a perfect opening for Will Smith to come in with his one-liners and hitch it up. And it works. Like, but there were moments when he was supposed to be like, you know, turning away from what their purpose was, maybe, you know, breaking the promise and all these other things that everybody is expecting to see. And you've already told me that you've got a solid guy in this role, and then you don't even make him be, you barely make him be solid. It's noticeable.
Well, I think they started off with him in mediocre character as far as like fleshing out his character beyond the music. And then, like you said, when his character literally gets dumber and he never comes back, he never really comes out of it until they need him to pull the okie doke on Jafar, which I was like, hold on, man, what happened to the fucking street rat that we were following for the first 20 to 30 minutes of this film? Where the fuck did he go? And he never comes back. So I was like, okay, well, now you've just watered his character down even more. Now he's just a complete idiot buffoon. Like, so this man that can do parkour, run through the streets, hopping up walls and impress a princess while stealing and unstealing shit for her. He can't dance? I was like, damn. Like, he can't. He ain't got no moves? Like, my man was a slick talker.
Look, I can give him that. It was a formal dance. I'll give him that one.
Yeah, man, he started wild.
He didn't know the steps.
I know, and Genie was helping him do all his moves, though, bro. Like, Genie was twiddling his fingers and had him doing everything.
Well, he was twiddling his fingers, but he was dancing to that DJ Khaled song in his head.
Oh, nigga. Why did you have to go back there, Joy? You're fired. You're fired. Oh, God, that song.
He did the right thing.
Mm-mm. Jesus, save us.
Can we rate this?
I don't know.
Yeah, what would you guys give it out of 10?
Yeah.
I'll give it 6.5. Surgical CGI apps out of 10.
I'm 6.5 wishes that Iago had been funny.
I'm giving it 7 slow, speechless montages and disappearing soldiers.
Yeah, I'm at 6.5. Like I said, it's I think his Rotten Tomato score is about where it's at. I think it's in the 60s, like 61 or something like that. It's about right. I mean,
I don't know if you saw my Facebook post, but that's what I meant when I was like, interesting. I didn't expect this. I thought I was the outlier here. And when I saw Rotten Tomato score, I was like, oh, I wasn't wrong. No. I was right to feel the way that I do about this movie.
I think audiences will like it more because, like I said, I was an audience that clapped at the end and really enjoyed it and really got into it. And I think this movie is going to succeed because expectations were so low, which might explain, like, this might have been a brilliant thing by Disney, that original putting that cover out with Will Smith not blue as the genie, and then putting it out with the CGI not done, might have lowered people's expectations so much that when you go into this film and finally see, you're going like, you know, it's fine, it's not that bad, and that might be what saves them. I honestly think that might be what saves them.
That's the most brilliant marketing move ever, if it's what they did. I don't want
to give them credit for having that much brilliant stuff. That was completely a mistake.
Oh, no, it might have been. It might have been. But it might be a mistake that works in their favor. Because...
But you know what doesn't help it is, like, even if that was the plan, I just saw on social media that they're doing a live rendition of Arabian Nights with the cast.
Oh, that's not going to help. That's sometime. Not... No.
Yep.
No, that's, you know, releasing the soundtrack was not a good idea. Releasing the soundtrack before, not a good idea. We
podcast the other night because I didn't know it was on YouTube, so somebody started posting the songs in our group because they heard me talking shit about Prince Ali, and they were like, "Yo, Brandon, did you know the soundtrack is up?" And I was like, "So I get to relive moments again, huh?" And what's funny is I listened to Arabian Nights again. I was like, maybe I was tripping, and I listened to it again, and I was like, nah, I was right on the fucking money.
No, it's not. No, it's not good. It's not good because he's not even like not trying to sing. He's like talking with music behind him.
He is trying though, and that's what kills me about Will Smith. Like, he's trying to the level that I think Will Smith feels like he needs to try to be great, and that's what kills me because nobody wanted to step in, put their hand on his shoulder, and go, "Bro, you're good at everything. Except this. And nobody wanted to do that because who wants to make Will Smith upset?
I'll do it. Hire me.
Well, Will Smith needed a friend, like a real friend.
Yeah, he needed a friend. A friend like me? A friend like Ro. He needed a friend like Ro to be like,
I will I will tell you the truth. I'm not gonna let you be out here looking stupid. I won't do it.
Did anybody else audience have a crazy reaction when they were walking out and they heard that DJ Khaled at the end?
We looked at each other in horror. We were horrified.
I didn't say long enough.
I said out loud, fuck no, and walked out. I said, nope.
I was like, let me hear these four bars. And then I heard that I'm Jasmine like the flower. And I was like, that don't even make
sense. But also, never in my life do I want to imagine Will Smith and DJ Khaled to collaborate. That sounds like a Mad Lib. Why would I do that?
But Will wanted to do that because Will, oh my God, I know people love Will Smith. He is one of the corniest charismatic persons in the world. He has been a dad.
Oh, yeah.
He's been full blown a dad. Like for the last 15 to 20 years, maybe. And he gets away with it because of the way he looks, his charisma, the smile, like Will Smith and his acting abilities. Will win you over. But Will Smith is absolutely corny. You have to be corny. He's the best type of corny. Yeah. He's the best corny you can be.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying he is corny.
And I will say this, the last thing on this before we get out of here. There's a moment here where you almost get Will Smith genie tears, and I was like, you, if you give me Will Smith genie tears, I'll bump it up to a 7.5. Cause like Will Smith tears will get me every time. So there's a moment in here where they almost get it, and I was like, see, if you gave me Will Smith tears, this would have bumped up to a 5 out of 5 immediately. Cause nigga,
I thought you were gonna do it, bro. Like I was right there with you. I was like, yo,
don't you fucking do. I was like, don't you fucking do that. Don't you fucking dare. Not after all this shit. Don't make me have to forgive this movie, yo.
This is what Disney gave him money for. Right? He didn't do it. I was like, oh yeah, Will Smith didn't care.
Yeah,
he cared like weeks ago.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, nah, y'all don't get the full tears, yo. I was like, oh.
Cries in Gemini though. Both Will Smiths gonna cry in Gemini. I guarantee.
They gonna cry a lot. I'm excited.
They cried in the trailer. Right. Like, yeah, no, it's happening.
Wow. Go wipe each other's teeth.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I admire his business savvy because he gets away with shit no one else should be able to get away with.
Of course, like it's Will fucking Smith.
I cannot see Gemini and Will Smith cry in front of Will Smith, and Will Smith goes, "Those are America's tears." I can't.
And they're both gonna yell in Will Smith like fashion. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just give it to me.
All right, folks, there you guys have it. That's a review for Aladdin. You can find the rest of the reviews on Movie Trailer Reviews. You can also read Joy's review on movietrailerreviews.net. I want to say that this was Rose's addition to MTR, not me. I did not assimilate Joy. I have too much respect for Joy. I did not do this. Leave me out of this. Do not blame me.
Hey.
I'm glad it happened, but I did not do this, so...
You're welcome. Don't make it sound like it's a bad thing.
Everybody always makes it seem like it's a bad thing for me, so I just want to make sure it's not my fault. Subscribe to Movie Trailer Reviews. I think that we'll also have a review for Booksmart that'll be on the main MTR feed and the Movie Trailer Reviews feed. But also we're going to be reviewing the TV show Good Omens, which I think will go on the Movie Trailer Reviews feed only. So yeah, just make sure you subscribe. So again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening, and until next time, peace.